We go back to Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And in 2 Corinthians 11:3, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." Friends, our minds are being corrupted. Our children's minds are being corrupted by this influence of our greatest enemy. We go back to Genesis chapter 3. So he drove out the man and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword to which turned every way to guard the way of the tree of life. We go back and in Genesis is where we see the origin recorded for us of Satan and how he was deceiving Eve into sin. We fast forward to the New Testament to Luke 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." So when we talk about Satan, when we talk about the devil, there, if you have some questions, I can tell you there are a lot of questions I cannot answer because the Bible says so much. I like Deuteronomy 29:29, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." So people always like to ask, well, what about this and what about that with Satan? Well, you show me a verse and we can look at the verse, but if we don't have a verse to look at, our opinion doesn't matter, and we need to focus on things that are revealed. So when we think about the devil's power in the past, and I want to look at his power in days past to understand that his power is limited, and then how does he work today? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So people speculate about what this thorn in the flesh that Paul had. We don't know. But it says, "a messenger of Satan to buffet me." Whatever he had is referred to as a messenger of Satan. In John 13 and verse 2, "And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas, Simon's son, to betray him." In John 13, 27, "Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, 'What you do, do quickly.'" Again, we aren't going to analyze every one of these verses, but we're going to look at some of the verses that say how he has operated in the past. John 6, 70, "Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil?'" Acts 5, 3 and 4, "But Peter said, 'Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourselves? While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God.'" So we see here that Peter said, Satan has filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we start and see some other things, though, that help us understand that the devil's power is limited. The devil does not have complete control. "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Sometimes we think we have no control, that Satan has just come over us. Satan makes us do something. Again, most of you here remember Geraldine, Flip Wilson and Geraldine from back in the 70s. And he would dress up as a woman, and she had this little routine, and she'd do something. She'd say, "The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it." Friends, the devil doesn't make us do anything. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. When we sin, we just need to fess up and say, "I chose to do this." James 4:7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you." The problem is, we don't want to submit to God. And the other problem is, we don't want to resist the devil. We want to hold hands with him and say, "Well, those people over there are really bad. Look what they're doing." And Satan is our greatest enemy. We've got to be aware of what he's going to try to do to us this year. In Job 1:12, the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. So here with Job, we see that Satan could do whatever he wanted to do to Job, but he couldn't take his life. And when rebuked by the messenger of Jehovah, Satan had to remain silent. In Zechariah 3:2, the Lord said to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire?" So do we always know what Satan is doing and what God is allowing him to do and what we're doing? We don't. We know what we are supposed to do. We don't know what's going on in the world, in this place or that place that Satan is involved in, but we know that our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with principalities, with these forces of evil that exist, these forces of evil. But we've got to understand, God allows those forces of evil to exist, and that power is limited. In Luke 4:6, the devil said to him, speaking to Jesus, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Satan had to ask for the apostles. He couldn't just take them. Back in Luke 22 and verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. He's asked for you that he may sift you as wheat." One of the questions that comes to my mind when I look at this, Satan has asked for you. Satan wanted to get Peter to fall. And Satan asked Christ for Peter. Are we doing enough that Satan would want to ask Christ for me? Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you. You have to ask yourself, would Satan ask Christ for you? Let me have him. Let me have him. Or David or any of us. Are we doing something? Or are we not doing enough? But Satan doesn't even consider us a threat. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. Now there's an encouraging thought. If Satan does ask for you or for me, we have Christ praying for us. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brethren. So Christ already knew that when Peter was tried, he was going to fail. But he prayed that he would be strengthened and return to him. And then he would go on to strengthen other brethren. We need to understand that Satan cannot snatch anyone out of the Lord's hand. In John 10:28, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So how does Satan get us if he doesn't snatch us away from God? It's by our own foolish, selfish desires when we are tempted. But when we resist that temptation, you know what's going to happen to Satan? He's going to flee. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace? Therefore he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. What's the answer to escaping Satan? It's drawing near to God. The closer we get to God, and the more we resist Satan, the easier our life is going to be, the more we can do for Christ. And when you read about the temptations of Christ, and it says that Satan departed for a season. I've heard some people say that when you read the accounts in the Gospels of Jesus being tempted, that was the only time that he was tempted, that Satan tempted him. No, those were recorded as he was beginning his ministry. And it might be good for us to look at those again sometime. Why was he tempted? But Jesus was tempted over and over and over. Just like us, we will be tempted over and over and over in life. We need to have our eyes open. We need to draw near to God. But his power is limited. We need to understand that when he's cast into hell, he'll be tormented eternally. Revelation 20:10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, when he promises us a good time, we know what the end's going to be. And if we fall for his schemes, he's going to be tormented for time without end. And we're going to be there right beside him, tormented for time without end. We need to understand that God is greater than the devil. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. How is God in us? Is it some miraculous manifestation, some miraculous way that he's in us? Friends, the more that we put his word into our heart, and we're going to look at that tonight, talking about sanctification and a good conscience in 1 Peter. But the more we put God's word into our heart, we are going to have God living in us when we do what that word says. Well, how does he work today? I think this is going to be the easiest thing that we can answer how he works today. He blinds people. 2 Corinthians 4:4, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. He blinds so many people, and we say, can't they see what's going on? Can't they see what they're doing? Maybe he's blinded us too. Satan deceives by acting like a minister of light. 2 Corinthians 11, but what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as just as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. If Satan were to come in to this assembly, what do you think he would look like? Would he look like that statue, half man, half goat with big horns? Something that would scare us? No, he wouldn't look like that. He'd look like the nicest man, the nicest little old man, the nicest little old woman you ever met, have a big smile on their face. He would look so sweet. You see, he's deceptive. He's deceptive. And you turn on the TV, you turn on the radio, you turn on the internet, and you see these pastors, these preachers that look so nice, and they sound so sweet, and these women pastors. Well, how could they be wrong? She seems so nice and so sweet. Friends, that is Satan. And Satan has not taken over that person. That person has chosen to walk away from God. Satan takes the word from people's heart. That's how they change into something else. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear them, then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. And that's why it's so important that we take the word and hide it in our heart. Satan is full of trickery, 1 Timothy 3. For if a man does not know how to rule his own house, how will he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being puffed up with pride, he fall into the same condemnation as the devil. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So here, Paul is writing to Timothy about the qualifications of an elder. And it's interesting, he mentions a couple in connection with the devil. And back to what does Satan look like? He could look like the nicest, sweetest, friendliest elder you've ever met. Satan is deceptive. And that's why we need to know God's word. We need to know God's word. We don't need to distrust everybody. But when we know God's word, if somebody says something and it's not something in the Bible, a bell should go off. And we say, wait a minute. Where's that verse? How does Satan work today? 1 John 3:8, he who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. We need to become aware of his wiles, his trickery. Ephesians 6, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9, for this end I also wrote that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes, in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Friends, Satan doesn't have one bag of tricks. He's got a whole bunch of bags of tricks, and he's going to try one, and if this one doesn't work, try another one. We need to be aware of that. So how do we view the devil? What does he do? How does he operate today? This is an old bedsheet chart that I think illustrates it good. Satan hinders men today by encouraging diversions, delusions, doubtful minds, double minds, deadness, delay. Satan is going to encourage us in all of this this year in 2025. And he's going to discourage us from doing right. He's going to discourage us from sharing the gospel with others. He's going to discourage us from coming together to encourage one another. Back to James chapter 4 and verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Again, so many people, they see the devil as someone that they can conveniently blame for what they do. The devil didn't make you do it. He just painted a pretty picture and you failed to resist. Here he's whispering to this guy, come on, just do it. You know you want to. God will forgive you. And again, sometimes we think that we can say that magic formula, forgive me of my sins, and God's going to forgive us without repenting. Friend, Satan is very deceptive. He's going to make us weaker. He wants, and again, he doesn't want all of us. He's happy to have just a small part of us. He's happy just to have a small part of us, because if he has a small part of us, that means that God does not have all of us. And God wants us to love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. Satan, we need to remember, Satan is not all-powerful. Satan operates within the constraints of our free will choices, not involuntary dominance. Satan is bound by the superior power of Christ, and Satan is not all-present. We want to be mindful again of the devil and his devices, and we shouldn't think too highly of him. Romans 8:36, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friends, Satan is powerful, but Christ is more powerful. Satan cannot separate us from God. It's a choice that we make. And when you look at this list, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I'm persuaded, he goes through this list, these shall not be able to separate us. And look at again at this list. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, principalities, nor powers, nor things present to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And you know what usually separates us? It's not something big like one of these things. It's something real small. It's something real small that Satan will throw out there to trip us up. How do we view Satan today? Are we aware that he is the greatest enemy that we face today? You turn on the TV and you hear him talking about wars, rumors of wars, all these terrorist cells all over the world. I'm not afraid of them. I'm afraid of Satan because he's coming after me. He's coming after you. And if we aren't prepared, he's going to get us. He wants to discourage us. He wants us to get our minds on the world. 1 John 4:4 again, you're of God, little children. You have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Satan has met his match when we have Christ living in our lives. When we have Christ living in our lives, Satan is not a threat. And again, how do we get Christ in our life, in our heart, in our mind, we go back to the temptation. Every time that Jesus was tempted, he answered and said, "It is written," in Matthew 4:4. Matthew 4:7, "It is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Matthew 4:10, "Away with you, Satan, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him only you serve." That's how Christ dealt with temptation. That's how Christ dealt with Satan. There are some people that say, you know, you need some miraculous power of the Holy Spirit to overcome evil. Did Christ use any miraculous power to overcome the temptation of Satan? No. What did he use? He used the written word. The written word. That's how he responded every time. That's how we need to respond. But we aren't going to be able to respond like that if we haven't read it and don't have it in our heart. How do we view Satan? He's our greatest enemy. I've used this illustration before. These are different pictures. And again, this is an old illustration from years and years and years ago. We need to think of Satan as this vicious dog. This vicious dog that wants to eat us alive, because that's what he's like. I've got three different dogs here, and if you notice, all of them are on chains. Now, if I were to go near any one of those, I would be safe. I would be safe if I did not step within the circle of their reach. I would be safe. That's the way Satan is. Once we step within the circle of his reach, he has us. So what do we need to do? We need to stay as far away from him as we can. Avoid every appearance of evil. And with the slides that I, the dozen slides I showed before I started this section, you see that Satan is at work in this country, trying to divert people's minds, trying to pervert people's minds, trying to get them off of God and focused on him. Friends, we need to be aware of what he's doing. We need to spend much time in God's word this year. We need to be spending time with each other, praying for each other as we do. We just need to keep on doing that and looking forward to the good things that God has for us in store this year. Friends, if there's anyone this morning that needs prayers, needs to respond to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.